The Greenland norse damage their environment in at least three ways: by destroying the natural vegetation, by causing soil erosion, and by cutting turf. As soon as they arrived, they burned woodlands to clear land for pasture, then cut down some of the remaining trees for purposes such as lumber and firewood. Trees were prevented from regenerating by livestock grazing and trampling. Studies of lake sediments yield the following picture of vegetational history around the Norse farms. The Vikings' arrival was signaled by a layer of charcoal from fires to clear pastures for their livestock. Pollen of willow and birch trees decreased, while pollen of grasses, sedges, weeds, and pasture plants introduced by the Norse rose. Increased magnetic susceptibility values show that topsoil was carried into lakes, the topsoil having lost the plant cover that had previously protected it from erosion. Finally, sand underlying the topsoil also was carried in when whole valleys had been denuded of their plant cover and soil. The most obvious consequence of deforestation was that the Norse quickly became short of lumber. The low and thin trunks of the willow, birch, and juniper trees remaining were suitable for making only small household wooden objects. For large pieces of wood to fashion into beams of houses, boats, sledges, barrels, wall panels, and beds, the Norse came to depend on three sources of timber: Siberian driftwood, imported logs from Norway, and trees felled by the Greenlanders themselves on voyages to the Labrador coast. Lumber evidently remained so scarce that wooden objects were recycled rather than discarded. This can be deduced from the absence of large wooden panels and furniture at most Greenland Norse ruins. Another consequence of deforestation is poverty in firewood. Unlike the Inuit, who learned to use blubber for heating and lighting their dwellings, the Norse continued to burn willow and alder wood in their houses. A major additional demand for firewood was in the dairy. Milk quickly spoils if left to stand. Hence, the vessels in which the Norse collected and stored milk and made cheese had to be washed frequently with boiled water, twice a day in the case of milk buckets. The Norse substituted other materials for scarce firewood by burning animal bones, manure, and turf. But those solutions, too, had disadvantages. The bones and manure could otherwise have been used to fertilize fields, and burning turf was tantamount to destroying pasture. The remaining heavy consequences of deforestation involved shortages of iron. Scandinavians obtained most of their iron by extracting the metal from bog sediments with low iron content. The extraction required huge quantities of wood to make charcoal with which to produce the necessary very high temperature of fire. Even when the Greenlanders skipped that step by importing iron ingots from Norway, they still needed charcoal to work the iron into tools and to sharpen, repair, and remake iron tools. We know that the Greenlanders possessed iron tools and worked with iron. Many of the larger Norse Greenland farms have remains of iron smithies and iron slag. But those same sites make clear that the Greenlanders were desperately short of iron. A few iron nails have been found in the lowest archaeological layers there, almost none in later layers, because iron became too precious to discard. Not a single sword, helmet, or even a piece of one has been found in Greenland. Iron tools were reused and resharpened until worn down to stubs. The Greenlanders' iron poverty is also clear from the many objects recovered at their archaeological sites that were routinely made of iron, but that the Greenlanders made of other, often unexpected, materials. Iceland's annals for the year 1189 describe with surprise how a Greenland ship that had drifted off course to Iceland was nailed not with iron nails, but with wooden pegs, and then lashed together with whale baleen. A result of the Greenlanders' iron poverty was reduced efficiency of their economy. With few iron scythes, cleavers, and shears available, it would have taken more time to harvest hay, butcher a carcass, and shear sheep. But a more immediately fatal consequence was that the Norse lost their military advantage over the Inuit. Elsewhere around the world, in innumerable battles between European colonizers and the native peoples whom they encountered, steel swords and armor gave Europeans enormous advantages. But there is no evidence that the Greenland Norse, after the first few generations, had steel weapons or steel armor anymore. Instead, they fought with bows, arrows, and lances, just as did the Inuit. Nor is there any evidence that the Greenland Norse used their horses in battle as cavalry steeds. The Greenland Norse also lacked professional military training. They thereby ended up with no military advantage whatsoever over the Inuit, with probable consequences for their fate. Thus, the impact of the Norse on the natural vegetation left them short of lumber, fuel, and iron. Their other two main types of impact on soil and on turf left them short of useful land. We saw how the fragility of Iceland's light volcanic soils opened the door there to big problems of soil erosion. While Greenland's soils are not as supersensitive as Iceland's, they still rank as relatively fragile by world standards, because Greenland's short, cool growing season results in slow rates of plant growth, slow soil formation, and thin topsoil layers. Slow plant growth also translates into low soil content of organic humus and clay, soil constituents that serve to keep the soil moist. Hence, Greenland's soils are easily dried out by the frequent strong winds. The sequence of soil erosion in Greenland begins with cutting or burning the cover of trees and shrubs. With the trees and shrubs gone, livestock grazes down the grass. Once the grass cover is broken and the soil is exposed, soil is carried away by the strong winds and heavy rains, to the point where the topsoil can be removed for a distance of miles from an entire valley. In areas where sand becomes exposed, it is picked up by the wind and dumped downwind. Some abandoned Norse farms are covered by sand 10 feet deep. The other means by which the Norse inadvertently made land useless was that they cut turf for buildings and to burn as fuel. Almost all buildings were constructed mostly of turf, with at best only a stone foundation plus some wooden beams to support the roof. Greenland turf walls tended to be thick, up to 6 feet thick, in order to provide insulation against the cold. A large Greenland residential house is estimated to have consumed about 10 acres of turf. That amount was not needed just once, because turf gradually disintegrates, so that a building must be re-turfed every few decades. The slow regeneration of turf in Greenland meant that damage was long-lasting.